Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's always game day in Cleveland. If you like what you're listening to, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Meredith Kane is our amazing producer who's on board with us this morning. Let's go through the schedule. Okay, Darryl, this is what I think a lot of people wanted to do. They were excited about it. We knew they were going to play. We just didn't know the order of who they were going to play, and then that finally came to fruition. Darryl, before we get into it real quick, I just wanted to point out that, you know, we make a big deal about weather and the Browns and being tough and being able to play in the cold at the end of the season. The beauty right. is we end at Pittsburgh, where the average temperature in that last game, which will be January 7th or 8th, will be 28 to 35 degrees. At least that's what it's been historically. So,
and we'll have to wait and see if the Browns leave Heinz Field with their head coach, right? Isn't that the annual tradition? I'm kidding.
Is Chud still there? Did anybody go back and pick him up?
I mean, that used to be the annual tradition. Death, taxes, and the Browns fire their coach after losing to the Steelers in the final week of the season. Like clockwork, right? So just having a little fun. Before people get all angry at me, you can get angry at me in the end of the podcast, but I'm just saying, like, that used to be the tradition, though, right?
I know. The beauty of Pittsburgh is if you get fired there, you don't have to go home on the school bus. You can sign out and go home with your parents.
Right. Maybe one day I have to tell the story about the Chudzinski firing and the volume of Browns players that were texting me on the ride home asking me if Chud had been fired, and I'm texting them back. I'm like, I'm hoping you can tell me if he's been fired yet.
Aren't you on the bus with him? That's what you should have said. How about going up and asking him? Could have done that. All right, that's the story I want to hear, but let's go through the schedule because I know that is one of our key conversations here today. Darryl, when I look at the beginning of the schedule, and let's just take these a couple at a time, at Carolina, the Jets. Now, I was telling you that there was a stat about the Jets that blows me away. They haven't won a game in September since 2018. So let's tackle those first two games there.
How at very Carolina, Brownsy of them.
That is very Brownsy of them. Let's tackle the first two games. At Carolina, where they were 5-12 last year, and then you've got the Jets at home in the home opener on September 18th.
For the first time in generations, the Browns, bold prediction here, the Cleveland Browns are going to win their season opener.
Dun, 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 dun.
They will start
1-0,
and I'm going to top it.
Okay.
Not only are they going to start 1-0, they're going to start 2-0.
thanks to our team that hasn't won a September game since 2018.
Correct. The Browns have only started 1-0 one time. They beat the Ravens 20-3 back in 2004. They have never in the expansion era won two games to start the season. You got to go back, I believe, all the way to 1993, the last time the Browns started 2-0. So I say this year, this fall, hot start for the Brownies, 2-0, wins at Carolina, and then back home against the Jets, 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 Jets.
Now, do you say those thinking that Jacoby Brissett's going to be the starting quarterback or that Deshaun Watson's the starting quarterback?
I say that thinking it doesn't matter who the starting quarterback is.
Fair enough, fair enough. And will Baker Mayfield be on the sidelines in Carolina not wearing a Browns uniform playing for Carolina?
Sidelines? I hope the dude is on the field wearing that Panther powder blue. I am praying to the football gods that he gets traded to the Panthers so we get Deshaun V. Baker week one. What compelling television that would be if that happens, right? So we're not supposed to root in the media for stuff. I understand that, except for rooting for the story. Well, that would be the story, right? So I have to root hard for that story that Andrew Berry gets together with the Panthers, writes a big fat check, and sends Baker to Carolina. So right out of the gate, we have the game of games, right? Baker against Deshaun. Baker against his former team. Baker against the dude that replaced him. Now that is a compelling storyline to kick off your season. So make it happen, Andrew.
That also sounds better than a 1 o'clock CBS game. All right, so let's go to week three.
They play a lot of 1 o'clock CBS games this year. Outside of the prime time and the flex games that are built into the schedule, every kickoff is 1 p.m., which I did find that interesting. They didn't get any of those 4:20 national windows or anything like that. That was a little surprising to me that they only got the two primetime games, and everything else kicks off at 1 o'clock. But again, built into the schedule, not only the flex for Sunday night football weeks 5 to 15, but weeks 17 and 18, both are not only flex weeks as far as kickoff time, but as far as the day, whether the Browns ultimately play on a Saturday or they play on a Sunday.
Daryl, do you know the rule off the top of your head? Because I think they can do that. Like, let's say that Sunday game against the Bills, and I'm not trying to jump out of order here, but that Sunday game at Buffalo, which is also a 1 o'clock start on CBS, if for some reason, I don't know why they couldn't flip that to a 4:30 start.
Yes, they can. That happens okay. All the time, especially with the Sunday night football. The 4 o'clock windows, we see those get flexed all the time, as well as that 8:20 Sunday night football kickoff.
Yeah, like I keep looking at that Bills game and thinking, if Deshaun Watson's quarterback in the Browns and they do as well as we think they are to start the season, that game becomes a Sunday afternoon game. That becomes a 4:30 kick. All right, let's go back through the schedule. You've got them 2-0 so far.
Yep.
And beating Carolina, beating the Jets. Now you come to your first primetime game. It is a Thursday nighter, September 22nd, week 3. It is on Amazon Prime, but there should be a local affiliate that will carry that for free for you. Steelers first meeting.
Mitchell Trubisky coming back to Cleveland to take on his hometown team. But I'm going Browns. Homer Schill, 3-0 start for the Browns.
I'm going to take you one further. I think the team could start the season 4-0. Because now you go to Atlanta in week 4. And, you know, here's a team that's got Marcus Mariota coming in now. They were 7-10 last year. I think there are plenty of question marks. I'm hesitant to say that's a win right now when I look at it. Because I want to see what Atlanta looks like the first 3 weeks of the season. But I definitely think that is a winnable game at Atlanta on October 2nd.
100%. I, too, have them starting 4-0. Great minds think alike.
All right, Daryl. So both of us think they're 4-0, and someone's going to burn this tape if they don't start 4-0. I do. Just the nature of the NFL makes me think they're going to be 3-1 to start the season.
Right.
One of those games is going to go sideways.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to lose one of the first four games. But when I just look at the opponents, what the Browns have versus them, I think that the Browns are the better football team in each one of their first four games, and that's why I have them starting 4-0.
All right, here's where I think things are getting a little bit rocky. While it's a home game and the Chargers have to come all the way across the country to play this game, this is where I think things start to get a little bit shaky. What do you think of that Chargers game on October 9th?
Yeah, I got that as their first loss of the season. But the fact that it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, I think, helps the Browns. Because remember, the Chargers are coming east, and their bodies are still on that West Coast time. So it's actually, 10 a.m. for them, body clock-wise? So I think that kickoff start actually gives the Browns a bit of a home field advantage as opposed to, it being scheduled for 4. But just because I'm not going to have the Browns going 17-0 here, I do have to pick some losses in here. So we'll say that is my first loss of the season for the Browns.
Yeah, I think if things play out the way we think they are, because I want them to be 4-0 to start the season. I just know better. And I think best case scenario is probably 3-1 to start the season. So maybe that Chargers game turns into one of those games that you're right with a 1 o'clock game against a West Coast team. You could still be looking at a 4-1 start, no matter where that loss comes. Then on Sunday, October 16th, you've got the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick, who knows how many more times he'll make a trip to Cleveland to actually coach. So this one I have chalked up as a loss.
Yeah, Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick, but I am going to disagree with you. I think that the Browns beat Bill Belichick. They channel their inner Eric Mangini and find a way to get it done. So I've got the Browns off to an incredible 5-1 start to the year.
Now, also looking backwards just through that schedule, you only have two teams that have made the playoffs from the year before: the Steelers, who made it in at 9-7, and the Patriots through the first 6 weeks. So that's why I do think that the potential, especially if Deshaun Watson is playing quarterback, is through the roof for the first beginning of the season. So you go past the Patriots, and now you've got Baltimore. And I got to tell you, Baltimore scares the you-know-what out of me, just because I talked about strength of schedule, where they were coming back from injury. And you're at Baltimore on Sunday, October 23rd.
Yeah, that one I've got them losing at Baltimore. We talked about how tough this division is. I think if the base goal for the Browns should be 3-3 in the division at worst. You can't be below 500. If you can get to 4-2 in the division, that's great. But at worst, you need to split within the AFC North. Maybe this is the year you finally sweep the Steelers, but I do think they lose October 23rd in Baltimore.
Let's talk about the Bengals game then right after that too. That's the Halloween game on October 31st.
Yeah, I kind of like the Browns in that one. Just
I do too, because it's at home.
In the atmosphere, it's Halloween, right? It's Monday Night Football. Fans are going to be all, shall we say, lubricated, ready to go.
Probably,
a little home field advantage there. Trick or treat. A game that's going to be scary for defenses. How many Halloween puns can we throw in here? I think it's going to be a treat for fans with Joe Burrow v. Deshaun Watson. So I've got the Browns winning on Halloween, which means they go into the bye 6-2. Got to do the math. I was told there will be no math this morning, but yeah, 6-2 headed into the Week 9 bye.
All right, we're on the same page, 6-2 going into the bye. So let's do this. We've already gone through half the season. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and we will talk about the rest of the season and get there and see if this team's a playoff team, plus behind the scenes of Daryl's social media incident that he may have had. Incident? I don't know if that's a fair word, but you'll find out. Coming up on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. If you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.